They just meld into nowhere? Who said there were two tanks that disappeared? Well, they obviously were on the good guy's side, weren't they? Because they never appeared again. And during the course of this little altercation and wait out, the citizens saved the day. They kept such close watch that they couldn't do all the things they wanted to do. I said they planned to napalm the place. Everybody went on to alert. And sure enough, they had a helicopter. They had the explosives team. Sophisticated explosive experts place charges near that house. They loaded 2 barrels of fuel onto the helicopter to douse the house, then explode the charges and burn them all alive. They loaded it. One of the local people very obviously let the pilot see that he had gotten everything on tape. Then he took off like a bat out of you know where, and he got that into security. They went ahead and took off, circled the house a couple of times, and landed. Oh, a lot went on that hill. When the mother opened the door with the babe in her arms, shot right between the eyes. With such a powerful weapon that the bones of her skull passed through Harris behind her and collapsed a lung. A quarter inch off a shotgun barrel? I think not. This has been a bad 2 weeks, or a good 2 weeks, whichever you wish to consider it. Ones mostly just say, "Why don't we go on, Father, and get it over with?" It's not that simple, is it? You haven't been able to write. You don't have the foundation yet laid. Your leaders are just beginning to come into vision. Will you be able to do it by November? I doubt it. But by November, you'll know who your leaders are. Greit said it far better than I can. I think there will be something terrible that will happen to California before November. You're in September. You're in September. And if you are not experiencing these blasts and this continuous bombardment of pulse waves against you, then I'm not sure you're alive. And don't for one moment fail to recognize when something happens that has just happened emotionally, one's responding to this or that or hearing. That is exactly what they expect you to do. That is exactly what they're pumping into you to do. Quit kicking yourself for being stupid or whatever you think you've been. Recognize your enemy and that the assault is full blast upon you. Anybody who would see Ed Young can see that he got attacked right in the face. The interesting thing was, and I'm just going to give this as a little bit of a clue for Ed. Dorma was with him, but she wears makeup. And she puts those life crystal things on her face because she's trying to get off of antihistamines. And it didn't affect her. And he has wondered when in the world it could have happened. It can happen any moment. It only takes a fraction of a smidgen of some things. Don't underestimate your enemy. Don't for one split second underestimate your enemy. He is good at what he does. He's had eternity to get this clever. And any time anybody says, well, let me sell you this ELF device and you will be able to rule the world and you'll be able to remember everything and you'll captivate the opposite sex and what you're going to do is destroy yourself. God travels and so do the hosts and so do you of light. At speeds and vibrations of such high frequency that you cannot even imagine in those terms. So anytime they try to tell you that a little ELF box will fix everything that's wrong with you, you know right off the bat they're out to destroy you. Or they're awfully, awfully stupid. You're not going to kill viruses with a lower frequency. You're going to kill minds, bring them under control. They can cause cardiac arrhythmic arrest, or rhythm interruption with them, but you can do that with potassium, or lack of it. So you have to study your lessons. Opinion won't do it. Well, I thought or I think, it won't cut it. You have to know your enemy. And you have to know what he has and what he's capable of doing. And he emotionally is capable of doing anything you can think of. And technologically, he is able to do almost everything you can think of. And a few that you can't yet think of because you don't know it exists. And that's our purpose, to let you know it exists so you can be aware of it. You're going to get rid of viruses the same way they're created. They are very high frequency, very tiny crystalline life form. It takes a higher frequency. And that means you're going to have to move into the light. And then automatically, if your self is traveling at a lighted frequency, it's not going to hurt you, but it'll blow out the little buggers that creep in, that have been placed there. If you keep your own level in the ELF range, they can kill you with anything, lower or higher, and you won't even know what hit you. You'll still be thinking, well, in my opinion, all I have to do is be. No, it's not enough. You can be goodly, and it's going to raise your vibration simply because you're headed for a lighted experience. But it's not enough to make it all the way. And we have to have a remnant make it all the way. It isn't that we are selective and we don't like you and we don't want you, but this is why I tell you, it's up to you. It's up to each one. I'm not here as a preacher just because I preach. I'm here to bring the word. I'm here to get a remnant through. Who among you would be the remnant is up to you. I can only offer. And one's intentions are basically always to get there, to be this, to be that, to be higher. That's all I want. But unless you can come into understanding with what you're trying to accomplish, you can't make it. Because there are too many blockages trying to teach you something else. And if you think you're going to get through this journey without any assaults on you, if you stick with your path, you're wrong. You're just flat wrong. And again, I'll quote Commander Grimes, if you're catching flak, you're on target. So you better hold the target and shed the flak. Because obviously, if you move away from the target, you're going to pick up all of the flak. It's a time of chaos. It is a time of glory. It is a time of transition. You cannot compare it to Lemuria. You cannot compare it to Atlantis, except as simply a relative comparison of historical data. You have the possibility of changing this ending and these cycles. Most of you in the remnant crew don't care to do that. You're a little tired. And you're certainly a little weary of this job. You didn't really think it would be this hard, or this drearisome, or this boring, or this whatever. And some just come to experience. And that's fine. Then they go their way, hopefully loving us. Usually it's not that way, because they are searching. And if they come into the wrong kind of information, they go away not knowing any more than they did when they came. Only it's negative input. Can you imagine if one's walked out of here this day and went down and they were still undecided and they met Mr. Clark down here on the corner? How long it would take him to talk them out of anything they heard in this room if they were not already in oneness with a higher command, so that it felt right inside. So you're not going to make it without assault after assault after assault. I had to tell Bo, it will get harder, son. Well, after you've done everything and there's not much more to lose, but a whole hell of a lot to win, you might as well go for it. Can't get off. You can't get out. So you may as well go for whatever's right. And the most right for the highest good. Well, you see, war and murder are not parts of the solution in godness. Mankind needs to make this transition in intent, not more bloodshed. So to take your nation back by bullet instead of ballot may be exciting, but you haven't learned anything. You've just taken it back by force. And you think, well, I'll get it back by force, then I'll be the perfect ruler. No, there aren't any perfect rulers. That was what was wrong with Socrates' plan. He said, we'll put in a good ruler. Good by whose standards? You see, your standards, I assure you, don't meet with the head of the mafia. They certainly don't meet with George Bush's. I mean, after all, they just blew up his favorite landing strip. And it's going to damn near put poor son Jed out of business. And little Georgie boy, you know, sitting over there in Bahrain waiting for the family business to flourish and everything to get on its way in the Persian Gulf, which, by the way, your independence is no longer in the Mediterranean, it is now sitting in the Persian Gulf. that should bother you, because there are also two new Russian carriers in there also. That son of a gun Saddam was really a nasty man, wasn't he? To merit all that. So hardball is not going to stop. The game's just going to get a little bit more tedious. You cannot expect perfection. If you're asking God to solve all this, fix all this, save all those, do all that, stop it. I didn't say stop praying, but stop your selfishness. You don't want to think about those dying babies, so you want him to fix it. It won't work that way. You get this nation under control, then the world can come under control, and then you can save those nations and those babies. Stop asking God to fix what you've broken. He'll show you how, and he'll tell you, and he'll say what glue to use. But confound it, you are going to put the glue on there, and you're going to hold it until it's stuck. And I don't know how much time you have. I know I have infinity. And every one of those babies that you kill, I catch. I don't have anything to fix. But you do. And you see, when you can discern those who would pull you away from that purpose. And it's very, very subtle most of the time. And it will always be through physical, material value. I've got to have my money now. What in the world for? So you can go do something foolish with it? Or lose it over here, or hide it? What are you going to do with it? When all you do is clutch at the physical, you lose the physical and the spiritual. And by the same token, when you let go of it for its value, you get both. You have what you need. And you find you don't really need that much. Does that mean you don't want more? I would hope not. I would hope you would want more. I would hope you would want all the abundance and beauty and wondrousness that God gifts you with in the ability to create. But you see, when you grow into that, you also know that all of this is worthless. That you cannot take it with you. That's why everybody wants to ascend. I think maybe I'll get sneaked through with something, like my shirt. So I'll sew a little gold piece in there. No. Not what ascension is in the spiritual vernacular. And then some of you sit here, and I see it coming back to me. No, I'll probably have to ascend just so I'll have to keep working. Very perceptive. And the lovely thing is, you'll be the ones who care the least about the things. It's awakening time. It's awakening time of the conscience of man. To see what you're made of. Do you have a conscience, which is God? Guidance. Or has it been slain? In the different civilizations that came and went, it was slain. And the remnant had to struggle through. To repeat and repeat and repeat. I'm afraid I was offensive to Little Crow. I said, what do you brothers have against us? You see, the Blackfeet and the Crow were going to go and support Bull Grites. And then they decided they weren't going to go up there and help those white races, honkies, white eyes they call them. Oh? When the Constitution of the United States of America falls, will it be better for the Indians? Even Little Crow said, well, what would this Grites do for my people? What will your people do to help him help your people? It's exasperating. It's far more exasperating to the ones in those minority elements than it is to you. But as long as that kind of thing goes on, you aren't unified enough to be worthy of God's intervention. I promise you that. Man will take hands. You see, when Bo came off that mountain and he found that the wife was killed, and that meant that she fell and dropped the baby, he knew that the town would be incensed. So the first thing he said when he came off, everybody hold hands. Both hands, and that's an order. You see, if you've got your brother's hand in yours on either side, you don't have room for a gun. It's when they try to take the motorcyclists out having fun on a desert run away from the ability to play. They open up the roads for the four-wheel drive ones. You're in real trouble. Anybody on hard terrain on a motorcycle has got to hang on with both hands. Give him four wheels and a steering wheel, and he can shoot every sign, every plant, every rabbit, and every flower along the way, and does. That is the mentality of your society. Until you take your neighbor's hand in both of yours and make sure his other hand is not on the gun, you can't pull it off. To succeed, you're going to have to do it with ballots, not bullets. And yet, I watch this unfolding, and you squeak through. I do not see it unfolding all the way without the bullets. And I'm sorry for that. Because it will solve nothing. You will have put another temporary band-aid on something. And yet even then you would have some little prayer of growth. I can't discuss really what I see around the corner. But I can tell you the end. God wins. Without even disagreement from the most evil being in the universe, it is known that God wins. And when you think there is no other step, no other alternative, you'll be shown another one. There always is. And what appears to be the most heinous, if you look closely, may be your greatest gift. You wonder how to get Grites known. It gets harder and harder to hide him, doesn't it? And now the harder they try to hide him, the more flack they're getting.
Excuse me, Commander. This is tape number 3 on September the 5th, 1992.
If you once behaved yourself and we had our regular meetings, you wouldn't have to sit through three tapes. I can also promise you that there was great purpose in what has transpired. So please don't be too hard on selves or anyone else. Let's all learn from this. Let's all keep both those hands busy. Let's all learn. Don't think, I don't know, that if I met regularly and we had like a couple of meetings even a week, there wouldn't be a toehold to be gotten. Not in anyone in this room. But when you must unmask very, very serious threats to God's plan, you do what needs to be done. And everyone must grow into the ability to be self-sustaining and then help sustain neighbor. I know that. The testing's hard, and I don't mean that we put it up for test. It's human time. Human time. Allow yourself that. Don't use it as an excuse. Use it as a reason to become more informed and larger in your growth. It only takes a few. You only have 3% against you. The rest are just masses. We'll go either way. Do we have a disadvantage? Absolutely. Since when has God ever had an advantage? But he's never lost. Well, I lost. Well, that's you. Maybe you better look at those losses very carefully. Maybe you better look at what you're blaming God for. And maybe you better quit being mad at God. Because you may find that the egg is on your face after all. Quit being angry at God. He's going to let you get into all sorts of mischief, even more than Hatton will ever think of. Because I am Mr. Budinsky, your nosy neighbor. I'm not higher than you. I'm not anywhere other than wherever you are. I'm just older in my understanding. Not even older than you in your understanding. You're just not yet in it. You are caught in the compression of a perceived world. And the efforts have been to stifle that information. And they're doing a pretty blame good job of it. We've got the books banned, you know. I don't know that it affects anyone here. It seems I heard somewhere that you can still get them. And certainly, the word has been put into other format and onto other discs and are being sent everywhere for safekeeping. But $215 million has been set aside for legal fees. And you can thank John Coleman and Bob Gerard for the service they have done you in bringing this to a frothy boil. Finally, we will get some attention to the work. Walter Russell was a gifted genius. And he got pulled down by a beautiful woman that he idolized. He thought her to be his twin flame, and she had all of this understanding. And then, in the same breath, she classified herself as a humanist. Please, go back and look up your definition. And then she said, he never said, we will never reprint the Universal One because he got enlightened later into the humanistic relationship of the higher resource. And the foolish people never did reprint it. And it contains all of the information that you need. Went right out of copyright, became public domain. And now the Constitutional Law Center is bringing a class action suit. And it appears that every cent gleaned by that university under unauthorized copyrights, depriving the public of information, they are guilty of fraud against the public and will have to return the money that they have profited. Will that ever come to be? Who knows? Meanwhile, the information will be talked about. I'm telling you, there was a room full of people witnessing this hearing, that if there had been any books available, everyone in the room would have bought them. We're going to get there. Dorma's not going to make it with that fly, but we're going to. It is a creature, and it has a right to be. She thinks it does not have a right to be in her face. Let's always be gracious with life. Let's reason with life. Let's love it. But for goodness sakes, you don't have to sit with flies in your face. Do you see the difference, children? Keep in balance. It's like the red men. I don't call them redskins, don't you either? That's an insult. Redskin comes from the term back when Indians were bounty item. And if they couldn't get various and sundry parts like the scalp, they brought in portions of the skin. And you got so much money for so many redskins. When you hear it that way, it's pretty sickening, isn't it? These were the first human beings. That's what God called them, people. But I had to remind Little Crow and other ones of those nations who can't ever quite see, you know, while they're always the first and always the last, etc. They refused to go, do you see, when we came to get them. How many are going to refuse again? And I asked that to him. Are you just going to refuse again? Because if you do, any one of you, and I am accused of being very smug, very sarcastic, and very idiotic when I say we will wave goodbye. What else am I to do? Puff stuff on you and bring you aboard because I think you, and in my opinion you, no, God gave you a brain and you will you. And if you don't want aboard my ship, you don't have to come. But I'd be pretty careful to make sure there's another one. And that it's headed where you want to go. Because there're probably going to be a few. You know, you're not going to get off easy enough just to get off once you get there. There will always be those choices. And I know you thought, oh, well, I thought, I get out of this one. No more choices. Oh, no. Sometimes you have this many choices. That's why you need to deal with all of these choices so when you get there, you only have one. And there's no choice. I'm going to surprise you. I'm not going to fill up this tape. It's been a long day. It's been a hard day. It's a day to go within and look at soul. And I can only tell you that I cherish you. With all that I am, you have all that I am. I have nothing more to give. But you sure got that. There's no forgiveness to be asked or given. We are journeyers on a road. And if you stumble on a pebble and I don't help you up, then the error is not yours, it's mine. And I can accept that. Go in peace and know that you are loved. We are going to make it, and we are going to win. And let's get Gwights elected if we can. I hate to do that to him. We'll see. You'll have a leader either way. Salud.